the Fool podcast right here with Felipe Esparza and Rodrigo Torres.
What's up, people? Rodrigo Torres in the house.
And we also, we have, because we're in San Jose right now at the San Jose Improv, we have also Flaco.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, and he's alive, man. He's been healthy all week.
No
headache. Yeah, man. It's crazy what happened right now. I lost my phone. Like for an hour, I would say an hour and a half, and my fiance Lisa was going through like trying to find what was that app you're looking for, fool?
Where's my droid?
Where's my droid? Where's my phone? And I really thought I left it in a hotel room, so we're going crazy looking for the phone, you know. And I'm thinking, man, I'm gonna have to get another phone. You know, I'm thinking I'm gonna have to get another phone. I'm worried about it. And
how about your pictures that are going to get out?
My pictures are going to get out. You know, I'm going to be famous like Kim Kardashian or you know, or anything like sexual like that, like Brett Favre when he sends those photos of him in the nutsack. You know, luckily I don't have none of those. And we're just sitting there trying to find the phone. And some dude at the park, Cesar Chavez Park, he showed up and he said, "Hey, man, I was going through your photos at church, and I noticed that this was you." Let me tell you, man, I was so shocked, first of all, that he was going through my photos at church. That he should be receiving the Holy Spirit or something.
I think that dude was shocked because that's the first time he ever returned anything back in his life.
Yeah, and so this guy brought the phone back, man, and I couldn't believe it. Like, he was just... I was just sitting there, "Hey, is this you?" And I say, "Yeah, it's me, man." And then I was thinking, damn. I was going through my head, you know, what did he see?
Everything.
What photos he went through. How many phone calls you made. But, you know, luckily I didn't lose my phone at the airport, man, because I remember the comedian named Mike Robles. He lost his phone like for 35 minutes.
Bobby Bite.
Yes. But Mike Robles, he's a guy that he put us all on the map on Que Locos, if you saw Que Locos and Galavision.
Shout out right there.
So this fool lost his phone like for 35 minutes, and then when they found it, there were like 76 phone calls to Belize.
Coño.
Coño. And they were all... And some of them were to South Africa.
Oh,
and then some to Ethiopia. So, of course, man, they found out who these three people were that borrowed the phone for 36 minutes. I mean, what can you say in less than 30 minutes, man, to Ethiopia? "Hey, we're eating."
You got to talk to the warlord, the rice shipment is in.
All How's right. that diamond war going down? Yeah, and he got his phone back. And let me tell you, man, every time, I would say since ever since I've been a comedian, I haven't really been that scandalous. Like, if I find a phone, like, I always give it back. I remember at the Improv, somebody left a phone behind, and I did go through all the photos, too.
I would.
And it had a little pen, you know? And I never seen a phone with a pen.
A little stylus.
And then I just left I brought the phone back to the Improv, and, you know, I always expect a little envelope, you know? A little reward. But there was times when I was working at Dodger Stadium, I found a wallet with $85. No. A money clip was a wallet was $85. Kept the $85.
That's what I'm saying, bro. You know what I'm saying?
And then, like an idiot, I took the wallet to school. And I showed it to the fat-ass rat, right? I don't know why I showed it to him, right? I showed it to him, and this fool took the wallet to the dean's office.
Are you serious?
Serious, bro. This fucking fat ass. And then the police undercover showed up, man. And they said that, "What happened?" I said, "Man, I found this wallet in Dodger Stadium. I brought it to school. This guy gave it to you guys." "Oh, okay. That's it." And then they looked it up, and they found out that the guy wasn't robbed. He actually lost his wallet.
Oh, they did all that?
All that, fool.
Damn, dude. For a wallet
with $85. You know, and I still remember what was in it, man. He had, like, a Discovery card, and... He stood at the Radisson in Burbank.
Damn, what did the ID say? Ronald Reagan?
It said Noriega. Nah. So we're right here, man, at the San Jose. We're in San Jose, man, and we're doing a new series, man. Cholos, where are they at now?
right here, dog.
Yes, man, because we're going to talk, hopefully, to more cholos. You know, like, cholos are, like, people that, you know, like, they used to gangbang, you know, and now their life has changed, like, through a dramatic, whether they went to a Victory Outreach and fasted on Wednesdays. You know, my brother, you heard of Victory Outreach?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. They have that shit in Riverside.
So my brother went to a Victory Outreach, man, and they caught that fool smelling like a fucking Jack in a Box burger, bro, on a day that they're supposed to be fasting.
Oh, dude, they didn't have the crazy thing for the neighborhood. They have a cholo on a trailer with a megaphone. You need to give your life to the Lord.
I've done a show, you know, for Victory Outreach. If you don't know what Victory Outreach, it's a program, you know, for let's have our guest here first. We have Jaime Birdman Acosta, who is a guy who I met in 4 years ago, or I don't know, 3 years ago. You know, I met him through a friend of ours, George Perez. I didn't really met him through George Perez. I just went on my friend's page, and I saw this veterano. This guy looked like Duke of Earl.
With some parrots, dog.
This guy looked like Burt Reynolds if Burt Reynolds was gangbanging. He looked like Burt Reynolds in Longest Yard.
And if Burt Reynolds had a cutlass.
Cutlass is foolish.
Yeah. So this guy, like, whenever a comedian goes out of town, you know, I don't know what comedians talk about this, but a lot of comedians know somebody, you know, in every town that takes you around and make sure, has your back, you know. All righty. This guy has weed. We ain't gonna lie. You know, but he's like the mayor of the city, but nobody knows it.
San Jose's finest.
Man. San Jose's finest. Like, this guy breaks the law every day, man. This guy rides his bicycle on the sidewalk.
This is how crazy this guy is. He still chains up his bike. He doesn't have a U-lock.
Hell no, I'm buying no cheap U-locks. Some things get broken into all the time.
They call him the Bird Man because he has a tacadu.
I got a
I made that up, man.
That's just a crazy that shit bird up. From San Jose. Tacadu.
It's a tacadu because he taught you how to talk, right?
And chirps.
It's an umbrella cockatoo, and I've got a blue and gold macaw.
Are those cars?
Those are
No, what do you have? This guy, I don't know. If you guys are old school and, like, grew up in the late 70s or early 80s, this guy had a bird exactly like that police show Beretta.
Yeah, like Freddy.
Tony Blake. Oh, wow, you even know the name of the bird,
like,
huh?
Yeah, Freddy.
That bird's name was Freddy, and he was actually a Moluccan or sulfur crested cockatoo because his crest curves forward. Mine's an umbrella cockatoo.
Check out so are you related to the Birdman of Alcatraz?
No, sir.
How did your name come about then?
Oh, well, when I obtained both my birds, I used to go into bars. People just go, hey, there's the Birdman. There's the Birdman.
What year was that?
That was about 5 years ago.
Oh, shit. I thought we were talking about a legend. No.
And then, like, when I started doing the comedy thing, I figured, you know what? I need a stage name. And I said, why not just use the Birdman?
That's what's up, man. Hell yeah.
So So we're here with a Birdman. This guy walks around San Jose with a bird on his shoulder and a chip on his shoulder. No, I'm just kidding. Just a bird on his shoulder. And, you know, him and I, whenever I come to San Jose, I always hit him up. You know, this guy has a beach cruiser, and I like to ride bikes. So him and I, we ride around San Jose, mad-dogging hipsters all day, looking crazy. Because there's a park right here. Right across the street from where I'm staying at the hotel room, you know, I'm not going to give them a shout out because I've been staying here quite a while. They still haven't upgraded me. So
we're over in the suite, dog.
So we're over there across the street from the, what's the name of the park?
Cesar Chavez Park,
you know, where, I don't know if you've ever been to Universal Studio Walk. They have that water park, that water that shoots up in the air and everybody gets wet. Well, they have the same thing as Cesar Chavez Park, but right here, people get baptized on that water. Yeah. I mean, there's actually, I don't know how, plus, also at this park, a lot of transient people hang out, you know? A lot of people who, like, wake up somewhere else and they sleep here at this park. Or if you're gonna be a homeless young teenager before you get to Berkeley or before you get to Seattle or Portland, You know, this is where you start off at. You start off at San Jose. This San Jose is like the open mic for teenage homeless people.
Pretty much.
The nucleus.
The pretty nucleus.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, for anybody, man, who's listening right now and you're thinking about, you know what, fuck this show, I'm going to cut off. Hey, August, I'll be at Las Vegas. I'm hosting the National Tejano Music Festival. Neta, pues, yeah, I'll be there hosting the Tejano Music Show. August 24th, I'm doing a show at Triple B's Backstage Bar and Billiards on Fremont Street in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is the day after I'm in Las Vegas on Saturday hosting the Tejano Music Festival. But the next day on Sunday, I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing my own comedy show. August 24th in Las Vegas for one night only at Triple B's Backstage Bar and Billiards on Fremont Street. August 29th and 30th, I'm in Ventura, California. I'm at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club in Ventura, California. September 5th, Merced, California. September 6th, Visalia, California. Find all my dates at FelipeWorld.com. And that was a message from FelipeWorld.com. So we're here back here with a Birdman, man.
What's up, Birdman?
What's happening, brothers? How you guys doing?
So, man? Birdman, man, tell us, man, where did you grow up at? How, you know, because you look like a veterano, bro. Like,
straight up.
Like if you were living in Los Angeles, California, you'd be in the movies right now, bro, with Emilio Rivera, Noe G. You'd be playing the old dude, eh?
Danny Trejo right there.
You'd be like Danny Trejo, bro, or something, man. But you live in San Jose, bro. You're out here just riding a bicycle and doing stand-up comedy. So, did you do prison time? Do you have strikes? What's going on?
Yeah, actually, I do, bro.
When was the first time you went to prison?
First time I went was 1989. I was only like, 24 at the time, something like that. I was a young knucklehead, bro.
What'd you go in there for?
I went in there for assault with a deadly weapon other than firearm.
Toma.
I beat the crap out of some fool and broke his ribs and everything with my feet and...
With your feet?
Yeah.
Said, fuck karate chops.
Nah, bro. When I used to consume alcohol on a regular basis, and when I get upset, bro, I black out. I don't stop.
So in 1989, that's the first time you went to prison. So when did this all happen? When did you start becoming a juvenile delinquent, dude? On the streets of San Jose or what?
Yeah, well, bro, like when my parents divorced, I kind of like took it hard because I was always with my moms. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 13... my father took custody of us, and I really never knew my dad because he was always at work when I was at school and things of that sort. So, like, I was real rebellious against it, bro. I didn't like what was going on because, like, my dad used to take me with him on bike rides, and this whole time I'm thinking we're going on a bike ride, he was cheating on my mom, and I didn't know all this crap. So, anyway, that's a whole different story. So I felt like what he did to my mom was wrong, so I started paying him back by just getting into a world of trouble, bro, because he had to pay out of his pocket for it. And I honestly, I have no remorse for what I put my father through because of what he did to my mom.
Like, what type of thing did you put your father through?
I would, dude, run the streets all night. I'd cut school for like a month straight.
This started when you were 12 or what?
I started when I was about 13.
13.
The lucky 13, dog.
Started smoking weed. I was a full-blown alcoholic by the time I was 15, bro.
Yeah?
I did some.
So how much time did you do it the first time you went to prison?
The first time, I did 4.5 years.
Damn. How did you get by in prison?
Bro.
How did you make money? How did you survive, bro?
I drew.
Did your dad go visit you in prison?
Yeah. We.
The first time or the second time?
The first time I went to the pen, like, for years, him and I didn't see eye to eye. And then, like, when I was in prison and I was finally, like, off the drugs, because I was running amok, bro. I was out there smoking PCP, doing coke, taking acid, drinking, doing whatever. I was like a big old garbage can. I didn't care.
Was PCP big here in San Jose?
Yeah, it was,
the
bro.
Juice.
San Jose, back in the days, it was known as the PCP capital of the world.
Damn.
Can we have PCP in Boyle Heights, too, man?
That stuff's no joke, bro. It's...
Somehow. What is it? It's like elephant tranquilizer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a tranquilizer, but they've put it in a smokable form. Some people snort it.
You would dip it in a cool cigarette.
No,
right?
That's how it is down in L.A. I know they call that the Sherm sticks or something like that, or cool, yes. Super cools, because that was the bottom of the barrel stuff. It would be a liquid. That's what they would dip down there. They didn't want to sound the PCP from here. It was like a big old political crap, bro. Drugs and politics fall hand in hand.
So what kind of... So you did PCP when you were, what, 14?
Well, honestly, the first time I smoked it, I was not even 13 years old yet. My brother's friend, he goes, here, hit this joint. And I thought it was some weed. I thought it was some good old Colombian gold. I took a big old hit, held that shit in. All of a sudden, my head was ringing. I'm laid out on this lawn, like, what's going on? All tripped out, bro.
I took a big old hit.
And I found out it was KJ, and I was just like, man. I stayed away from years, and then when I was about 18, 19, I started messing with it again and got deep into coke. And I just really started getting in a lot of trouble, bro, looking at, like, 13 months to 3 years in the pen. My very first, I got a second-degree burglary way back when in 83. I was just running amok, bro. I didn't care.
So did your parents ever, like I remember, like, try to send you, like, somewhere else to help you out, like, to change your lifestyle? Because I remember, like, my mom, when I was going crazy, they would take us to a cousin's house to stay there for a week, for a weekend. But then I'm thinking, man, I'd rather live over there, man. Shit, over there was cool, man. They give you 10 cents every day.
Well, no, I mean, they wanted to send me a lot of spots, but when I was... Actually, that summer, bro, when I graduated from junior high, how, I don't know, I did it, but they sent me down to L.A. because I was originally born in San Gabriel. I was born in San Gabriel in 64. My dad was in Camp Pendleton. He was a Marine at the time. So then we moved back up this way, I believe.
He's a real veterano.
Yeah, about 68, 69, somewhere around there. And when I went down there when I was 13, it was in Paramount. And we were supposed to go down, my cousin and I, because we were getting way too much trouble here, and our people are like, look. Send them down there with their grandfather.
Paramount, by the way, is a bad side of Cudahy.
Yeah, it was. I got jumped like 3 times in 2 weeks, bro. And then
welcome to the neighborhood.
Here's what was funny about that. We get down there, and like Grandpa's taking us around Knott's Berry Farm. We went to Disneyland and, you know, Magic Mountain, all that good stuff, right?
Damn.
But, damn, man.
But he lives on Paramount Boulevard, bro. And there's an alley behind his house where the garbage cans are at. And one day his wife's cutting my hair, and I see this plant back there, and I'm looking at it, and I tell my cousin, go ask Grandpa what that plant is. And I hear my grandpa, that's my tomato plant. You leave it alone. I'm like, bullshit. That's weed. So we plucked the leaves, threw them in the oven, and we dried them. Neither one of us know how to roll, bro. We're rolling joints with like 3 papers. And we go in the alley. Now these homies come walking up, all these dudes, Pendletons, khakis. They're like, hey, what's up? And here's the fucking crazy part. My cousin, I'm going to change his name. I'm going to use his middle name, Matthew, crossed out people's names in the alley. And everybody Damn. Knows you don't puto mark. You don't mean, we're not even from L.A.
So your cousin did that? He lived.
We're both from San Jose.
Yeah, he started crossing out people's names.
And then he put his name up. He puts his name.
Damn.
Now these guys suicidal. Come walking up, and they're looking at us. They're like, hey, what's happening, you guys? We're like, oh, what's up, bro? We're just smoking a joint. They're like, hey, you want to match one? We're like, yeah. So we're smoking. And then one of them looks to the right, and he sees the wall. He's like, hey, man, you guys see that shit? We're like, yeah, what? They go, somebody crossed out our names, homie. I'm like, fuck, that's fucked up. And I'm looking at my cousin like, fuck. They go, hey, you guys from around here? We're like, no, we just moved here from, I think we said Santa Barbara or somewhere like, in the southern region of California, so we wouldn't get beat up that bad.
Bakersfield.
And, bro, we ended up getting jumped into their gang. So now I come back to San Jose. My grandpa sends us back. He goes, you guys are getting too much trouble. We were supposed to be there all summer. We lasted a little over 2 weeks.
Damn, you were a knucklehead.
They sent us back to San Jose. Go back home.
You guys were there for a wedding or something?
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. So these guys, this is what's cool about L.A., bro. I really, honestly, I love my people everywhere, man. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't going to lie. I was a banger, and I used to have a lot of hate for people from L.A. just based on the fact because they were from L.A. Just being, you know, but now that's like, that's all said and done. But this one particular night, they go, hey, we're going to a wedding. All right, let's go. So we
Those are the guys that jumped you.
Yeah. We got jumped in after the wedding.
Oh, that's crazy. That's what happened, man.
You go party with these guys.
So I got jumped, man. I got jumped into a gang, man, at a baby shower.
They don't care. You want in? You want in the baby shower? You got to get jumped in. Yeah, dudes. So we go to this wedding. But before we hit the wedding, we go to like a Walgreens or a Rite Aid or whatever it was. And here we are stealing gallons of Boone's Farms and
It's at Boone's Farm.
And I forgot what else. And this guy's grabbing grape Kool-Aid packets. I'm like, what's that for? He goes, oh, you put it in the wine and it doesn't taste so bad. All right, whatever. So
nitrine.
Yeah, there you
go. You're drinking wine nitrine.
Yes. We end up at some wedding, bro. And this wedding's like in the middle of a weeknight. That's what was crazy. It was a middle of the weeknight.
Welcome to L.A.
So we're all getting lit up there, and then we end up in their hood, and then that's when they jumped us in. Beat the shit out of us. Two 13-year-old kids. Bah. Now we go back to my grandpa's pad. The front door's locked. I got to jump the back fence to get in. I go inside, and I knock out. And I hear the doorbell ringing. I'm like, who in the fuck is ringing a doorbell like at 4 in the morning around here? I get up. It's my cousin. I forgot about him outside, right? And I'm like, hey, what are you doing outside? He's like, fuck, you didn't open the door. Now my grandfather gets up and his wife. Oh, no, my grandfather wasn't home yet. I'm sorry. His wife gets up and says, hey, and she doesn't speak a lot of English. We can't speak Spanish. So there's lack of communication. So we're sitting there, right? And she goes, she's throwing her arms in there and like saying, like, you know, where you at? Like, where were you guys at? I don't know how to even say it in Spanish, so I can't repeat it.
¿Dónde estaban cabrones?
Yeah, something like that, bro.
Chingada madre.
Yeah, my cousin.
People don't understand, right? A lot of Mexicans don't speak Spanish, especially in the news. They always say all these Mexicans. That's why we get pissed off because, you know, nothing against people who don't speak Spanish, but a lot of us don't speak Spanish. I speak Spanish, but if you get me in front of somebody from Mexico City who's fluent in slang and speaks good Spanish, I'm going to be just saying, sí, pues tú sabes. But you don't know Spanish, right?
Yeah, no, I don't. You know what I noticed, too, about Spanish programs, bro? How fast they talk. I'm like, damn. And I do know. And then, like, my grandparents are originally from Mexico.
¿Dónde estaban, cabrones? And you were like, what are you saying? ¿Dónde estaban?
So my cousin throws his hands in there. He's like, we were at a wedding. And she's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, you know, dun, 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 dun. Oh, dude.
It's not a wedding, not the president's coming.
We were at the inaugural presentation for Ronald Reagan.
Oh, it was funny, bro. So we finally go to bed.
Well, that was his first wedding, people. Come on, give him credit. Plus, he got jumped.
Because my grandfather, he was a trucker. And so he was on the road. And I guess he came home that morning and he woke us up. He's like, hey, so how was your guys' night at the wedding last night? We're like, ah, we're all right. He goes, well, here's something to cure your hangover. He knew. He can smell it all over us. He threw a couple of bottles of beer on the table and a couple of shots. He goes, you guys aren't going anywhere till you drink that shit. I looked at him like, fuck, cool. I put him down, bro. I go, I'm heading out. My cousin had to stay in the house because he didn't want to do it. My grandpa, he was cool, bro. He was cool, but he was, like, firm about shit. You know what I mean? He was stern, but, like, go do what you're going to do. But if you're going to get into too much shit and cause me headaches, then you're going back home. And I guess we fulfilled that because he sent us home. My grandpa, rest in peace, he was a good man. He, good people.
So what happened when you went back to San Jose and you already in a part of a gang from L.A.?
Oh.
Were you representing
them? Yeah, dude, we're running around. Hey, we're from L.A., homie. Paramount. Barrio Paramount, homes, what's up? Boom, we're getting rushed back in San. I'm like, damn, can we go anywhere and not get jumped? I thought by being in a barrio, and especially from L.A., because San Jose and L.A., like, when I first heard about all this stuff, I was 12. I really didn't know, like, about banging. The trouble I was getting into was more, like, getting caught for smoking weed or, like, getting caught for stealing wine from the store. I didn't ever really wore khakis or suited up like that. I ran around. But then L.A., when I hear about how L.A. was compared to San Jose and like, this and that, and then when I was down there and I saw how real it really was, it really tripped me out, bro. And then we come this way, and we got jumped in L.A., and I'm thinking because it's Mexicans, there shouldn't be an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize that there was a separation between Northern and Southern California.
So your grandfather, man, what type of person he was? Like, where did he grow up?
He actually was, he was from Southern California.
He's original...
From like born, Chino.
He was born in America too, like what, probably, what year? Yes. Like 1907?
Fuck, I don't even know, to be honest with you, bro. Because my mother's going to be 70. So I think he had her when he was like 20. So you figure, I don't even know, bro. I can't really do that math right now. But he died in 1986.
After you guys left.
He passed away. He knew something was wrong with him, bro. He sent for my mom. And my mom went down to L.A. and spent his last week of his life with them. And he died the day of her birthday. Or the day after her birthday. He passed away June 26th of 1986. But he was a good man, bro. He like I said, he'd be on me about stuff, but it was all out of love. You know what I mean? What grandparent doesn't do that?
And so after you came back to over here to back to San Jose, who were the first people that hit you up and told you, "Hey, man, you're gonna have to change your ways"? Like, did your father gangbang?
Nah, none of my family, bro, gangbanged. None of them. See, because like with my father and I, bro, you know, like even to this day, really, I don't really talk to him. I don't really have a relationship.
He's alive?
Yeah, I don't have a relationship with my dad, bro. It's sad, but it's true. I don't like it, but it is what it is. When I was a kid, when I was in kindergarten, first grade, he'd go to work. He was working swing shifts. So when he'd come home from work, I'm already in bed. And when I get up to go to school in the morning, you know, he's barely getting up and out. So we didn't see each other for years. So I didn't know my dad. And I still don't really know him.
You guys were on a different time schedule.
For our whole lives, bro, it's been that way. For the last 40-something years, that's how my life's been with my dad. Two different time schedules, bro. It's kind of like that Cats in the Cradle song. It really is. When I hear that song, I break down like a little bitch. I ain't gonna lie, bro.
Rats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon.
Yeah, bro, because it's like...
So who checked you over here in San Jose and told you to do away with that L.A. shit up here?
It was some other little homies from up here. There was like Vario, there was Palmas, and there was like all these different little Varios and cliques up here. Like I said, I never really was with any of that. I always run the streets. I'd be on my bike. Like, I was just that rebellious kid about just being rebellious at home. I didn't get involved with gangs until I went to the pen, and then that's when I really got deeply involved with it. But between that time and that time, I was just being a knucklehead.
And the second time you went in there, you already like when you were out on parole the first time.
The first time, yeah.
But you do the full time.
I did 4.5 years off of 6. Came out, gave him 3 years of parole. I did like 2 parole violations when I got out. And then when I gave him back that E number.
E number, yeah, damn. When I was in rehab in like 92, I think they were at end numbers.
Yeah, they were giving out the ends. I was just getting out. I got out August 10th of 92. August 10th of 92, somewhere around there. And, bro, like, I got out, and I thought I knew it all because I'm in here with these lifers that were shooting game at me about how to deal with dope and do this and do that and boom, boom, right? So I come out thinking, all right, I got this. And I had a job. I was making $7 an hour, but my rent was $1,200 a month. And I just was having a baby. So I'm like, I got to do something. So I went back out.
What year was this?
In 92. Oh, my son was born in 94.
It must have been a big house.
It was a townhouse, my kid's grandmother's house. So I ended up, she was only charging me half of what she was really paying. She was paying $2,400 a month for this place. So I was only paying her half of that amount, which was all right. But I got back into the dope game. I started slinging coke, meth, weed, and all this other stuff. When I was on parole, and I gave my parole agent a whole different address. So if he ever came looking for me, they just tell him, oh, he's not here right now. And I'd give them people money. I was being stupid. I got off parole, and I was only off parole, 6 months? And I went, I picked up another charge, bro, and I was looking at life. And I beat it.
What did they charge you for?
They charged me with an aggravated assault. But I beat it in court because the dude pushed up on me, and I had a good legal team, and I got out of it.
You were the Teflon Cholo, huh?
I don't know about Teflon Cholo,
the Teflon homie.
But like,
when you talk, man, don't go let... You're going to step away. Take the microphone with you, too, because you're like getting away from it. Like you're on... You're testifying against yourself.
So you beat that case in court at trial?
Yeah, I beat that. I didn't have to take it to trial.
With a probation officer or a lawyer?
I had an attorney.
Oh, right. But the first time you didn't have one, huh?
No.
Okay, what happened, bro? They gave you five.
No, the first one I had an attorney. I had two attorneys. I was paying
off the
butt.
Dos, betty.
But they wanted to give me 16 years. And I was, dude, look, I was guilty of the crime. The one thing I've learned about all this shit is I don't blame nobody or anybody else for me doing time. I put myself where I was at. That's the bottom line. I hold myself accountable for everything I've ever done. So, like, you know, when I beat the crap out of that dude, I admitted to it, but it wasn't like I went at him. He kept antagonizing me in this bar. This good dude kept, like, he was lit up. He kept bumping into me. I'm like, hey, excuse me. And when he did it one last time, I told the bartender, I go, look, bro, I'm taking off. This dude's, like, too lit. I'm leaving. When I walked out of the bar, the guy hit me in the back of the head. So I turned around and beat the shit out of him. Find out he was a minor. He had a fake ID. So his family pushed the issue in the courts, and that's what got me the 6 years. I was going to get 16, but it got it down to six.
You could just sue that bar.
His family sued the bar, bro. That bar no longer exists, but you know what I mean? And then after, so now here I am out again, running around doing stupid stuff.
But this is the second time when you got out?
The first time, that was all for the first time.
Oh.
So after that six-year bit, and I do my 3.5 years of parole, and I get off parole, I barely give them back their state number, and I'm running around doing stuff with stuff again. And I picked up some more charges. I was looking at I beat that 25-to-life case. And I figured, you know what? I'm untouchable. So I ran the streets again, bro. I'm like, because that's the mentality you start to get when you're running the streets your whole life, and that's all you think. You just, dude. It's a set of mind, like, I don't know, bro. It's hard to explain, but I'm just so thankful for comedy that I'm not with that shit anymore. That's the bottom line, bro. I'm just so grateful for, like, just being able to, like, relieve myself on the mic. Because a lot of the jokes that I throw out there, bro, they're from, you know, stuff that I've seen in prison or stuff that I dealt with. You know what I mean? Some of the jokes are from things like that. But the other ones...
So nobody gets those jokes.
No, there's a lot of people that understand them, bro.
Cellmates.
You know what I mean? There's people that understand them, but it's just like... It's that life that I live, bro, is behind me. And, you know, I don't mind talking about it. And I'm like...
Did your father ever go visit you in prison?
Yeah, my father went to go visit me.
A lot of times?
He went probably about 4 or 5 times in the...
So your plan worked, huh, to get your dad to get closer to you?
Hey, somewhat, bro. You know what I mean? But, like...
No scheduling.
You're a soldier, bro.
But, like, just, you know...
See, your plan worked, man. You wanted your dad's attention, and you got it.
Yeah, but see...
For some people just go raw their whole life just hating their dad. You said, fuck it, eh? I'm going to fucking commit crimes because my dad's going to be there, cabrón. Dad, I didn't grow up like you, daddy.
Yeah.
So what was your dad's first words? Because I remember when I was in rehab, some guy was talking about his dad visiting him in prison, and the first thing that came out of his dad's mouth was, even as a robber, you failed.
Oh, dude. When I first caught my very first case in 1983, with the second degree burglary, they let me out on OR.
What's OR?
It's like your own recognizance or whatever. It's saying, it's like they're trusting you that you're going to come back to court and you're not going to burn them.
You were there for a robbery?
The first, very
first
time.
And they slapped your hand and said, you come back. We trust you.
Yeah, I went back.
They don't give those out no more, huh?
I went back to court. Yeah, they do. They give ORs as long as you're a stand-up citizen. Which...
Somebody sent me an OR. Somebody's going to come back in an ER to lay me out.
But yeah, so when I come home, I'm looking at my dad. He goes, yeah, what's up? I go, well, I'm out. He goes, why? He goes, all you're going to do is F up and go back again. That's the relationship we always had, bro. And it's like, up until even, like, still some days, bro, I sit back and I think, like, why, man? Why is it like this with my father and I? It's because, see, now I have a son that's going to be 21 this next January, and I don't have any kind of relationship with my boy at all. That kid, my son hates me, dude. And I haven't had an opportunity to speak with that kid, so it's like, it goes both ways with me. You know what I mean? I'm on both sides of the coin with this one. It's like, fuck. But whatever, life moves on. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. That's the whole point I'm trying to make is that I can go back to my old ways and do what I used to do and know that I'm going to go back to the pen. And actually, I can be in there and be comfortable. I can actually sit there and not trip. It doesn't bother me. But I don't want that in my life anymore. So I make changes. And hopefully my son sees that somewhere down the road and says, hey, you know what, Dad? What's up?
When your dad saw that, started asking you in prison who you were locked up with, because you said you were locked up with
Greg Powell.
A very famous killer, right?
Yeah, Greg Powell, the one they accused, they said killed those two cops in Bakersfield back in 62.
That's that movie, The Onion Field, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
And your dad saw, recognized him right away?
No, he didn't recognize him. We were in the visiting room one time, and Greg came walking through. His name's Greg Powell, right? He comes walking through, and I go, hey, Greg, what's up? He goes, hey, what's going on, bro? And I go, hey, this is my dad, Ben. This is Greg. So I introduce them to each other. Greg goes, all right, I'm going to go see my family. All right, bro, I'll see you on the yard. My dad goes, who is that? I go, don't you remember when you see me take the movie, The Onion Field? See the movie, The Onion Field? He's like, yeah. I go, that's the guy the movie's about. He's like, oh, my God, they have my son in here with murderers.
Get me out of here.
I'm like, Pops, hello, Dad. This is prison. This ain't romper room. You know what I mean?
The club staff sergeant.
But when he said that, bro, that's when I realized,
well,
you
at?
Know what? No, but that's when I realized, like, you know what? My dad does have, like, some compassion for me.
He cares, like, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
He didn't want you to deal with animals. He wants your son. He wanted you to be, like, he wanted, that's when you're probably, that's when your dad probably realized, you know, where he was at, you know, like, damn, my son is fucking, this is it. Your dad's fucking eyes open, finally.
He wasn't that bad, guys. No.
Yeah, honestly, dude, he did, because he wrote me this one letter, and he says, you know, like, where did I fail with you? Like, I'm like, you know what, it's not
when
you,
When you
were
in prison?
Yeah, he sent me a letter. You know what I mean? When I called him, I go, look, Pops,
tears.
I'm sitting here because of me. It's not because of you. It's not, I was young and dumb, man, and
your dad probably wanted some blame to go get fucked up, man.
Nah. My dad, the only time he really speaks about anything is when he was drunk. And, like, when he told me these things about how my two older brothers are really my brothers, bro.
They are your brothers?
Yeah, my older brother that passed away 7 years ago, he's from a different cat. And then, like, my family, dude.
You were hurt how you found out you had another brother, huh?
Here's the thing, bro.
When I found out, I want to kill people, man.
I come home.
I knew where the love went.
And my dad was all lit up, and I was drunk. I was 17 years old. I come in, I'm like, hey, what's up? He goes, hey, you know what? Your mom was a this and she was a that. I don't like reusing those words because I just.
Your dad was saying that about your mom?
Yeah.
He was straight up
saying, like, you know what? Your mom's a slut. He goes, you know that guy that's supposed to be your uncle? That's your brother. The other one that you think is your cousin, that's your brother. I have two brothers, bro, that my whole life I grew up, I thought one was my cousin. He's actually my brother.
From
the one that passed away.
From your dad or your mom?
From my mom. My mom had three kids before she met my dad. The only one that got taken in was my sister. My sister got adopted by my father. She ended up with my father's last name. And even to this day, bro, I honestly don't truly feel that I'm his son because you look at me and you look at the rest of my siblings, I don't look anything remotely like my father. I'm the only one that's got hair and growing. They all
feathers, bro.
It's feathers. It's a trip with my family, bro. But, like, when I found all that out and I confronted my brothers, I'm like, hey, so are you my brother or what? They denied it.
I don't know. No.
And I'm like.
But they didn't know, right?
They knew. Everybody knew, but for some reason, they were trying to keep it some kind of fucking secret. Why? I don't know. And, bro, for a lot of years, that really bothered me. I'm like, so all these years, I've had older brothers, and I never knew it. Like, I've always wanted an older brother, somebody to look up to. Like, I had nobody because my dad wasn't around me. I had nobody to lean on, bro, to learn the basic facts of life of how to be a man. I learned how to be a man on the streets all on my own, bro. I mean, and, like.
But these cousins, you thought, are end up being your brother. Where did they live?
They lived here in San Jose.
No, but they have a
oh, one. Oh, my,
so you call their dad your cousin, your uncle, or you really your stepfather?
My uncle and aunt, because see, my My great grandparents, when my mother had
fucking cholo life,
when she was pregnant with the first Albert, my great grandparents says, "Look, you're gonna have the baby here in San Francisco, and instead of adopting the baby out, they told my grandmother, you're taking him in like he was yours." So that's what happened with my oldest brother. Yeah, she was young and unwed. And then the second one.
So you just took your mom's son and gave it to somebody.
No, to my mother's mother.
Took him look right in society. So in other words,
we're growing up in life. My brother is supposed to be my mother's brother as well. Do you see what I'm saying?
I need a program, bro. Say it again.
Okay, look it. I'll explain it real quick.
Do a chart.
Okay, yeah. Here's my grandmother. Here's my mom. Here's my older brother. My mom's pregnant with my older brother. My great-grandparents, let me get it right. My great-grandparents, then my grandmother, then my mom, then there's us. My great-grandparents told my grandmother, when she gives birth to this baby, you're taking in this child like it's yours. So my mom's son ended up being her brother. Now, later on, she gets pregnant from some other cat. Well, not cat, dude, whatever you want to call it, right? Now, this guy, when he's being born, my Aunt Annie, which is my grandmother's older sister, my great-grandparents said, okay, fine, you're taking him in and raising him as yours. So that guy ended up being my mother's cousin.
Damn, yo. So you could be your own grandpa.
Probably. Who knows, bro? I don't even know, man. You know what I mean? Probably, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Damn, man. So that probably, damn. So your dad came in into a relationship knowing all this, or somebody told him? Somebody must have told him along the way and said, man, I got gypped.
No, he knew about the kids. He knew what was going on. And, you know.
But they were married, right? Married, like they got a wedding vows and all that?
Yeah.
They didn't just shack up and move in, right?
Nah.
And your dad never had other kids somewhere else?
Nope. He adopted my sister and you know, gave her his last name, the whole nine yards. And then I came in, and then my younger brother. So, I mean, you know, I don't. Like how Rodrigo was saying yesterday, how we were talking about in the green room last night about, like, just letting shit go. Dude, for years. And I know that was part of the reason why I was always so angry, and I can walk into somewhere.
Just want to be loved. Is that so wrong?
Yeah.
The truth.
That was it. I just wanted to know who in the fuck I was.
You're Birdman, dog.
That's all I really wanted to know. Like, where did I stand in life? Who am I? What is this? Like, why? You know, because I didn't, you know, I was only 9 years old when they divorced, and I'm going back and
forth. Your mom and dad divorced at nine?
When I was 9 years old, yeah. So I didn't know what the fuck was going on. It was crazy, bro. Like I said, my dad taking me out, and we're going to these people's houses. And here he is sitting on the couch hugging up on some lady. And I'm looking like, he goes, just go play in the room with the kids. Then on the way home, he'd brag me.
He took it to a play date, bro. You didn't even notice.
Yeah, I didn't even know. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, well, this is my stepbrother, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, bro. I mean, it is what it is. It was what it was. And I'm where I'm at now.
So when you were playing with those kids, what'd you guys play?
Fuck, I don't know. I was too busy rolling a joint in the corner.
Don't be lying, dog. You're trying to listen. You're over there trying to rat your dad out.
Nah, man. You know what? When we used to go home, I didn't know, bro. I like tried figuring it out. Like, see,
isn't
I never...
that confusing, though? Like, to see that as a young age?
Yeah,
you don't
it is.
Get it, man.
It's very confusing.
Like,
it's a lot of shit. Like, to deal with.
I would go to Mexico, man, and I remember playing with this girl somewhere, and then we'd go somewhere else, and then people would come to my house, and then my sister told me, no, that girl was your sister. And I'm thinking, man, how many other brothers do I have? I haven't even asked yet, but I'm pretty sure there's some out there that I don't even know about.
Yeah.
So now, like, that's where all the anger comes from, you know? That's where all this anger comes out, and somehow you got to build it into a comedy act.
Yep, I'm working on that. It's...
So does your father know you're doing stand-up comedy?
Yeah, he knows.
Or she thinks you're out there preaching?
Nah, he knows what's up. Pops knows what's happening. I mean, I call him now and then.
Have you ever worked on a bit about your father into your act? Or are you just talking about prison life, eh? Because this stuff about your father is pretty good, man.
I mean...
You could just talk about, yeah, man, growing up, man, I had a cousin that was a brother, an uncle that was a dad, a grandma that was a sister, and I'm my own grandpa.
Dude, you want to hear even funnier one? This is even crazier. Now, this is crazier. Okay, this one, yeah, you got to listen to this one. Okay, now look.
I was just trying to figure out about the family tree, bro. There's a couple of fucking broken branches and a stump here.
This
will be a mission for that family. For what's it called?
Ancestry. I looked it up. Now we couldn't find nothing on Ancestry. We didn't have any roots,
Ancestry.
Bro.
Ancestry.com, bro. The Acostas.
Well, a lumberjack got to that family tree.
Check this one out, bro. My mom.
That tree got hit by locusts.
My mom and my Aunt Vicky, ended up marrying. It's great. Okay, I mean, how do I explain this one?
Are you sure you're going to put all the family business on a podcast, bro? You're going to be banished from the family.
Good. Maybe I'll get lucky and find a good family. Shit. find one that's got their shit together. Now knows who's who. No, but it's funny, bro. I got an aunt and an uncle that were married to two brothers and sisters. It's weird, bro. My family's just off the hook.
It's like a kaleidoscope, dog.
Pretty much, bro.
Your story is almost like you're like Bruce Buffer right here, bro. You hear the story of Bruce Buffer and Michael Buffer?
Nope.
The guy that says, am I allowed to repeat his word? The guy that says, Michael Buffer says,
you're getting sued, bro.
Whatever. He says, let's get rid of Rumble. And,
oh, okay.
But I saw it on HBO that Bruce Buffer, he's the one that says, it's time. They're brothers. But the dad was driving around with Bruce Buffer in the car. And he asked him, he has our last name. Is that my brother? And Bruce Buffer's father said, yeah, that's your brother. Like, a long time ago, he has, like, some woman, and they broke up, I guess, or whatever. And they found out they were brothers, and they ended up hooking up. And now they both do announcing. You think you have a brother out there somewhere that's going to help your career?
George Clooney, dog.
George Clooney. Nah, I doubt it, bro. Maybe, so, I don't know, man. You know what?
So this confusion, this must have played a lot, like watching your dad have sex. I'm pretty sure you saw him fool around and grab a titty. You're like 9. Watching someone grab a titty, man, it's like being molested yourself, man, because you don't know what the fuck is going on. You just know that you're watching somebody grab a titty. You're like, damn, man, that doesn't feel good.
Dude, my dad took me to see Clockwork Orange when it came out. I was just a kid.
Hello, brother.
Brother.
The driving. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Your dad loved the classics, bro.
My dad's off the hook, bro. I mean, I love the man. I just really don't have a lot of respect for the guy.
That's crazy, man. But you have a lot of respect for your mom, right?
Oh, yeah. My mom, bro, she's my life.
She's
dude.
A saint, huh?
Dude, yeah. That.
But that's crazy, man, how your great grandmother, you know, she was really affected by like church, because that was a decision that she probably thought about because of religion, right? Like
probably
being
so.
A Catholic, and you don't want the whole family to find out that, oh, my little daughter just had a kid and it's gonna ruin the family. So we're
like
gonna just
she was
take
the
her.
Only one.
Exactly, you
religion
know,
religion and society at that
exactly.
time.
Exactly, like why hide it? Like a lot of families hide it, like. Like when I got a girlfriend pregnant. My girlfriend got pregnant in high school, you know, and the motherfucker having a choke attack here.
Somebody call his daddy.
So my girlfriend, don't get all choked up now. I got my girlfriend pregnant in high school, and a lot of people like growing up in the housing projects or growing up anywhere, like whenever there's a pregnancy, they look at us like the worst thing ever, you know, like. Yep. Are we? They forget that. You know what? Weren't we supposed to fucking reproduce anyways? So we started a little fucking early. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we got more manpower for your fucking fields. So what's
and
your
like,
problem?
Why should a person that has a baby at over 34 get more love than a person who has a baby at 17? You know,
because they're supposed to be doing it right.
They're doing it right.
But if we go back to the back in the day, people were only living till 30. They were getting married at 10 and 15.
Yeah.
Now, you know, society evolves and all of a sudden it's bad and shit. But, dude, that shit happens no matter where you're in the ghetto, in the hood, or if you're up there with people that supposedly have money. Because there are people that, like, get pregnant and they're married or they're not even married. And then they hold the baby for a couple months and then they get married in white, and then the baby comes out 6 months later. Who you fooling?
Or I feel bad. Like, is it just sad? Huh? Like your mom, your grandma, your great grandma probably thinking that in her head, you know, like, oh, I go to this damn church. I go to my church every Sunday. You know, what's everybody gonna think? You know.
Well, my
so we just start
we start
drafting parents.
Back in those days, dude, it'd be like the story of Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos when he found out it's not even his mom, it's his aunt. Remember?
Yeah, it was sad.
That's how it was.
That's Polly Walnuts
right here,
bro.
Right here, dog. You're full of wings.
You know what's weird, bro? It's like how my great-grandmother did that, but yet she started young. I got on my grandmother's, like, there's a total of, 12 kids that my great-grandmother had.
My mom's mom has 12 kids, too, bro. And I don't know who's who there, but there's a lot of kids.
Yeah, and then my father's side, too. My father has 6 brothers and 6 sisters. So there was 13 kids in that household in a 2-bedroom house. So what's the problem with a 17-year-old kid being pregnant in a 6-story? You know what I mean?
It can't happen again. What was going through your mom's head when, like, somebody can just... It just feels so brutal, man. Like fucking Nurse Ratched shit. Like something out of World War II. You know, when they just take your baby away.
Oh, that's
fucked up, man.
Yes,
you're powerless. You're all young, and then they make the decision for you.
Yeah,
and they didn't even have it for you.
That's what I, you know, like, see,
like,
bro.
You never had no rights.
Hell no.
That's why, like, with my mom, you know, like. When my
Tell your
brother,
mom I said the Giants suck, by the way.
When my oldest brother passed away 7 years ago, you know, looking at my mom and seeing how she had to lay down her firstborn to rest, it's not an easy thing, you know what I mean? And, like, as much, even to this day, she still never really broke down or has let
strong lady right there, bro.
You know, and it's like, later on, no, see, in his dying years. When
she
he
never got
up,
to love him as a son?
When he ended up sick... When he was sick and, you know, he was on his dying legs. Bro.
Who was sick?
My oldest brother. He was only supposed to have been alive for 2 years when he ended up with that one hepatitis that catches up to you, like hepatitis C or something, mm-hmm. that catches up to you like 20 years later or whatever, and it tore him up. And the doctors let him know, hey, you need to stop, but he kept doing his thing, you know, and like for... Up to that point, bro, him and I were finally brothers. Like, let's see. He never acknowledged me as his brother.
Never?
Up until about maybe 2 years before he passed away.
So there's some shit that fool was going through.
Oh, yeah. We were both going through it. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I finally got my brother, and then the fucker dies. And it's like, damn, man, like, when am I getting my fucking fair shake in life? And, you know, like, I got his grandson I take care of. So he's there with me. But the thing is, and I say this true heartedly, man, if you got beef with anybody in your family, let it go. Because the night before my brother passed
Fuck
away, he wanted to talk to me. My brother wanted to talk with me, and he goes, hey, dude, he goes, you know what? Because we had been on each other's throats for like 2 weeks prior to that. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And he's like, hey, bro, he goes, I just want to talk to you. I go, you know, dude, I got nothing good to say to you, so fuck off.
That was your brother?
Yeah. The next day is when he passed away. We didn't make amends. I regret the fuck out of that. Really do.
So your brother was trying to make amends with you. You said, fuck off.
Yeah. And I deal with it.
Yeah, you're babysitting now, dog.
It's not that I'm babysitting. It's like.
But I think
he was trying to reach out to me, bro. When I fuck and I.
It is tough, man. You know what? Like, maybe you weren't ready at the time, you know, and it's a sad that he passed away. But, like, I have. Family problems, you know, but they're all haters, bro, and you know, yeah. I don't give a fuck about them right now, you know.
Hey,
I really don't, and they could come and beg, but I'm not gonna forget everything that was said. It's never gonna be like we're not gonna hang out after this. So
yeah,
what the point?
I know what you mean all of a sudden now they want to be your family member?
That's one thing about family.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no matter what happens in life, you can forget, but nothing with your family. You have this personal recorder that will never be erased,
yeah,
dog.
Yep.
And you can always rewind or fast forward and shit.
That's why with my mom, bro. Like, see, my mom, dude. She didn't ask things. Whatever happened. But my mom's always been there for me, dude. No matter what, I don't care. Like, cops came chasing me one day. I came running to the back door, and I was in my bedroom. I jumped in the shower. I go, Ma, the cops are going to be here like in 2 seconds. You know what to do. They came knocking on the door. She's like, yeah, what's up? Hey, we're looking for Jamie Acosta. She's like, yeah, what? He's been here all day. He's in bed. Why? What's up? He's getting a shower.
She said, who the fuck is Jamie?
No, she straight up, she would tell him, bro, like, unless you got a warrant, you're not coming in here. My mom stood up, bro. She knew her rights. My mom was down for me like that, bro. I mean, like, I've never even had any woman in my life be that solid as my mom, bro.
Damn. You can't marry her, though, dog.
No, you can't marry her, but...
Well, you're Norman Bates, bro, or what?
No, man. My mom just knew the program. It was crazy. Just like when I go out and hustle...
What if she didn't want to be in the... What if she didn't want to be in the fucking program?
That's what I'm saying.
What if she would have just said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of my son being a cholo and gangbanging at 36. He's in the fucking shower. He just came in. That would have not changed anything. She just because she lied to the cop, that's not a good enough reason to... She has my back. She has your back, bro, because she never fucking gave up on you, no matter what.
I know.
That's the only reason she has your back. Because she believed in you. Because there's a real person in there. And she knows that's a real motherfucker right there. But her just saying, you know, because my mom would have fucking told her cops I'm right there, man.
Well, see, my mom also knows if she wants her cut of the money I made that night.
That's what they're about. Mexicans, man, they're always weak when it comes to their bomb, man. This motherfucker could have 20 people hostage in the car, inside the house. Could come out with your hands up. But then once you bring your mom, Jamie.
Yep.
Jamie. Please come out.
I got those tortillas you like.
The whole time, she just wanted to watch Oprah in peace.
Yeah.
This fool bringing problems to the house.
How many apartments your mom lost because of you?
None. She never lost any spots because of me, bro.
So, man.
That's another thing she didn't tell you, dog.
So, what inspired from all this? Because you, man, your story, man, is like. It's a lot of heartache, bro, that you dealt with, man, and you probably still deal with it today, man. Maybe you, after this podcast, man, you find yourself a psychiatrist, bro, and
you know what my psychiatrist is.
At least you let it out right now, man. First, you got listening, man. It's tough out there, man. A lot of people walk around with problems, man, and that's because you let it out, bro. You smoke weed only now. And you're not walking around like those people outside on Cesar Chavez Park, just having conversation with relatives that aren't there, you know, like talking to themselves. What inspired you to finally you know what? Did you always want to be a comedian or a stand-up comedy? Were you always funny? Did you make your dad laugh? Like, hey, man, how many cholos it take to get put in a car?
No, I always would, just talk shit.
Who was, your favorite comedian growing up?
When I grew up, bro, honestly, I used to, love watching, my dad turn me on to W.C. Fields.
Damn.
I'd watch.
Give him a golf club, bro.
I'd watch, Adam Costello.
Did dad ever tell you, hey, son, you bother me?
Jerry Lewis. And then I remember watching the first time I saw Saturday Night Live, bro.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? With Garrett Morris and all them guys on there.
Garrett Morris. Shout out. Downtown Comedy Club.
What's up, y'all?
You know what I mean? Watching Sanford and Son. All in the family. All that shit, bro. Listening to Richard Pryor records. I mean.
Did you ever, were you old enough? You are old enough, but did you ever get to watch Chico and the Man?
Oh, yeah, bro.
Was that your shit?
I love that.
I mean, I wish I would have been young enough to watch the show, man. I just have it on DVD, but it looks like it was a great show. Google it, people. Chico and the Man. Freddie Prinze.
Yep, good program. Very good program, man.
Did you know the song? Have you seen the song?
I don't know the song, but you know that Chevy, that 64 that got all those roses painted on it? My Uncle Danny, may he rest in peace, he's the one that did all those roses on that car. And that car still exists, bro. It's still around today.
Don't be lying.
I ain't lying, brother.
Not for reals?
My Uncle Danny from down there, he lived...
The best roses come from San Jose.
No, he was sprayed down there in L.A. He lived down in L.A. because my grandfather's daughter, Diane...
This could be true.
Married him down there. I don't know about you. East Dallas.
Flacco, what's up, man? What's up with Flacco in the house right here, man?
What's good, fellas?
What do you have, bro? Morpheus cyst? What's it called?
Morpheus system? No, I got Marfan syndrome.
Morphin syndrome. Marfan, man. So, does that come with powers, bro?
It's like an X-Men, bro. I could do whatever I want with food, bro.
This guy could eat a lot of food. This guy's powers is making you take him to the hospital. Okay, give it up for Flacco, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. So what's up, Flacco?
What's good, guys?
You having fun here in San Jose?
Yeah, man. Taking care of Birdman's birds.
You have any questions, man, for birds you want to add on from what listening here?
Do you study birds, bro? It sounds like you know a lot about them.
Nah, you know what? I mean, I read up on him a little bit. I got him and just got into a new hobby, bro.
Was that before or after you started using the name?
Before I started using the name. Right before I got the name.
When did you get the name Birdman?
Probably about 2 years after I had my birds.
The cockatoos?
I've had Paco for 10 years now.
It could have been. You could have been Fishman then.
But like, I got a fish tank at home too, bro.
We could turn it to an amateur zoologist.
Amateur zoologist.
So what inspired you, man? Like, when was the first time you said, you know what, I'm going to hit the stage?
Okay, well, I was watching I think it was Showtime or HBO, that Payaso Comedy Jam.
Oh, shit.
And
that's when
Coco Diaz
was headlining.
Yeah,
Edwin San Juan was on there. George Perez was on there. When I saw George Perez get up there, bro, he's like, hey, I just got out of jail again. And then I heard the laughter and then I'm like, okay, this kind of stuff is, like, tolerable now.
He his material, right? It spoke to you, right? You know what? He's been in prison.
It's kind of like AA, bro. Like, they say, if you go to an AA meeting, you go to enough of them, you're going to hear somebody's story that's going to capture you. You're going to be like, okay, I can relate to this person. So it was the same thing. I'm like, all right, cool. And then February of that year, they came to town. So that's when I met, 2011. So then that's when I met George over here at the Improv. Kicked it with them, and then March of that year, I got my first shot on stage. I went up there, and we did some Yo Mamas against each other. And then I just decided to start looking for open mics and just start running with it.
What your mama jokes you said?
I hit him with, your mama's so fat, Ripley can't believe it.
I can't believe it.
Your mama is so old, her nipples look like saladitos.
That's the one he hit me with. But
yeah, that was mine.
And then the other one I have it. The other one I have is like your mama's so
originally
ugly.
Heard in Montebello at the
originally
Wild Coyote.
Heard at the Wild Coyote in Montebello. Laugh Factory. And in the projects, Pico Aliso. That joke was originally said by a guy named Paco to somebody else, and I just took it from him.
Back in the days,
but I remember watching way back to Que Locos, and there was this other one on the. I forgot this one Spanish station, bro, and I saw a lot of you guys.
Comedy Picante.
Nah.
Galavision, Comedy Que Locos.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I was on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it 8 times.
I had seen little...
I made $200.
Seen little Noe on there, a few other guys. That was way back. That was like in the what? Early 2000s?
Kitty.
Yeah, that's when I first... I mean, I'd always wanted to give it a try, but every time I ever see somebody doing it on TV before watching that Possible Comedy Jam, I'm like, well, all these guys have been in movies before. I'm like, so you got to be an actor before you can become. So
now said, it was like from the pinta to the stage, huh?
Yeah, pretty much for me now. You know what I mean? It's like from the pen to the mic, bro, and I'm enjoying life now. I really am. And it's, you know, like I give you guys a lot of, like for what you guys do, it's hard work. You know, at first I got, like when I first came out, a lot of my family would come out and support. And I'm getting all these laughs. So I'm thinking, this is easy shit. You know what I mean?
A practice in front of your friends club,
but it's really not. And then later on down the road, when my family stopped coming out and I'm getting up on stage and I'm not getting these laughs, I'm like, wait a second, man, what's going on? But then, you know, a lot of you guys, like, you guys give me good solid advice, you know, Chris,
quit Warren, now,
you know, and I'm enjoying it, man.
It's a lot of young comics don't realize that if you keep inviting your friends, they're gonna keep laughing at your jokes. It's when you start leaving your friends at home is when you start really growing as a comedian, because now you have a real audience that's going to actually laugh at your jokes, not like your friends who are like, oh, I love him. Jonathan is so funny. Wasn't he so funny?
Pat on the back comedy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to a bringer show and you got to bring people, it just makes the comedy look like a comedy support group, you know? It's like AA, but for comedy. And nobody really tells you anymore. Like I don't know, like, if you go to a regular comedy show and if you hear a couple of comedians talking shit about you, you're at a real fucking comedy club now. Welcome to the jungle, motherfucker.
Yeah,
your shit is whack today. But last night, you killed. But today, your shit is whack.
Yeah. I mean, I'm working harder. I'm hitting more mics.
Stop hitting them,
down,
bro. You have 2 strikes.
And stop you. No. But it's been fun, bro. It's been fun 3 years so far, you know, and At first, my like last year, I'm thinking, you know, dude, I would love to become a millionaire off of this. But you know what? My goal
is crazy, bro.
Instead of becoming,
you've lost your mind,
yeah,
Birdman.
You lost your mind, bro.
Instead of becoming a millionaire, you know,
there
bro.
Been that many, I could name the comedian that I know that made $1 million, and that's only Gabriel Iglesias. So.
I like to just make 1 million people laugh. Fuck it, bro.
Well, you could do that, bro.
You know what I'm saying? That's my goal. I'm gonna make 1 million people laugh.
Sneak yourself into a television show. Wow, that's crazy, man. Like. So you've done like how many performances do you have under your belt?
Like as far as like actual venues?
No, like how many times have you been on stage?
Oh, I don't know, probably about close to 50 times at least now, probably more.
Damn.
I'm here like now.
So you only have an hour, huh? According to new comics timelines.
Lately I've been hitting about 4 to 6 venues a month.
You should go up every day, bro. You have time. Unless you have a job, you should go up 7 days a week. And you'll get better.
I'm working on a lot, and I was going to tell you, man.
Some lies.
No, I mean, I really, like I said, I enjoy doing this.
Plug them in.
What's your best part about comedy that you love?
Oh, it's the challenges, bro. That's what I was going to tell you. See, like, after the last time I spoke with you guys when we were over in Pleasanton, I've challenged myself.
That was your best set ever, bro.
Is what I do is
more than I said.
I invite... Like, I'll put it on Craigslist, on the free list thing. I'm like, hey, I got some free tickets to a show. And I put it out in the area, like the last time I was at Tommy T. So I hit East Bain. And get people to come out that I don't even know.
So it said Craigslist. What are you selling, tools?
And then once they come out,
the
you know,
Craigslist
and I throw them
bomber.
On, and I throw them on my guest list and I get them in. My next challenge is to get them to laugh. Once I got them laughing and they come to me after the show, hey, Birdman, that was some funny stuff. When are you going to be here again? I'm meeting that challenge. So that's what I've been doing. Like you were saying, staying away from bringing friends out. I'm just like trying to get people I don't even know. If I can get them to laugh, then I'm succeeding. And now I'm trying to round it out to where my jokes aren't offensive.
I did a show with you, man, and I had to follow your set. And I was like, damn, listening to your whole act, I was like, fuck, I was scared straight.
Scared straight. Yeah,
like he was talking to a celly.
No, you know now that I understand that, and like, see now what else I do too for the a few months ago. Now I look in the mirror, and I throw my jokes off, and I'm like, damn, that does look scary. Like if I saw this face, I wouldn't want to laugh either.
Those eyes.
So you know, I'm changing it up. I've changed my energy mode, and like I'm a lot more cheery. Like, hey, how is everybody doing? More smiles.
How many jokes have your bird written for you?
Let me see. Probably 2.
You lost your bird before, right?
Yeah, dude. Yes, I did.
I was fucked up, bro. Well, I remember you put it on Facebook. I lost Paco, man. Anybody see my bird? And I remember I wrote, he's over there asking that redheaded chick at the punchline for a guest spot.
And then Edwin San Juan said, oh, yeah, I saw him at KFC. I'm like, you fuck.
Fucking Edwin, though.
But nah, I got him back within 22 hours, bro.
That's cool.
I got him back. It was scary, dude. I was like, what the hell, man? Not my kid.
It was the same guy that bought back Felipe's phone or what?
Probably. I think so.
Yeah, man. I was trying to get your bird to fly, man, and it couldn't, so I'm bringing it back.
I was in church.
I was in church.
I was in church, and this fucking bird came at me like the dove.
Birdman. You know, a lot of fools use hair dye in show business, but you don't use it for your eyebrows, though, hot dog.
No.
Nah, I'm just joking.
I'm getting gray hair in there, too, bro.
So,
fuck it out.
So, man, when you and I hung out, man, you got to meet Baby. You meet a lot of celebrity, right? I mean, you and I hung out with Baby Bash.
Yeah.
And he took it to the car show. And you met Danny De La Paz, right? You met Puppet. You met Puppet from American Me, baby.
And Boulevard Nights.
I didn't think
and
you were going to bring
Boulevard
that one up, bro. I didn't think you...
Danny De La Paz.
Who was starstruck right here.
You were starstruck, bro. That's not the most famous cholo out there.
Shoot.
He's a legend.
For one of my jokes, bro. He's the whole reason why I got one joke. That guy. Cupcakes. Little mama.
Who said cupcakes, though?
Dude. I've never been hit on by a gay person in my life.
He's gay?
Yeah, he's gay, bro. He's gay as a $3 bill.
He's out.
Yeah, he's out.
And so like, Danny De La Paz, right?
Yeah, Danny De La Paz. And like, I met him over at the car show and Baby Basher Ronnie, whatever you want to call him, was talking with him. And I already know the dude's gay.
How you get so fly?
And he goes, hey, bro. He asked Danny, he goes, have you smoked any weed yet? He's like,
anybody know Baby Bash? He's a rapper from...
Vallejo.
Vallejo.
Bay Area.
Bay Area. He's in Houston now. You can check out his music, Baby Bash music. How you get so fly?
He's a good youngster. Met his family. His family's really nice. Matter of fact, they came out to the show the other night.
Yeah, his mom was hella happy at the show.
Yeah, his mom's really nice people.
A bomb ass slice of coconut cream pie, by the way.
Yeah.
His aunt, bro, has a nice house over there off these hills, and they're really nice people. But with Danny, bro, I go, here's some bud. I gave him some weed. He takes me back to his little thing where he's got his posters and all the stuff he's selling. He goes, here. And I go, hey, check it out, bro. A lot of guys that come in from L.A., when they come up this way, you know, we smoke out, chill, do whatever. I go, if you want to relax, kick it, and not worry about shit, just hit me up. He's like, all right. So he gives me his number, and I gave him mine. I think nothing of it. And I go home. Later on that night, he texts me. He's like, hey, Birdman, it was nice meeting you. You're cool people. I'm like, you too, bro. Enjoy, you know, enjoy the smoke. Oh! Now he's like, hey, so where do you live? I go, downtown San Jose.
No, where?
And then he's like, hey, man, I want to know if I can stay at your pad a couple of nights. He goes, because I'm clean and I cook. I'm like, nah, bro, I rent a room from some people. And I let it go. I just ended the conversation. I got my lady in bed. I go, I'm going to bed. Now, I can't sleep because all these things are going through my head. I'm thinking, this dude's hitting on me. This fucking guy is hitting on me. So the next morning, I text him. I'm like, look, bro, obviously we got off on the wrong foot and blah, blah, blah. And now he's hitting me back. And conversation's going on again. He goes, hey, are you going to come down to L.A. anytime soon? I go, yeah, I'll probably go down there with my girl. He goes, oh, sir, you're a fucking breeder. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, you're a breeder, huh? I'm like, what do you mean, bro? He goes, you're straight. I'm like, yeah, why? He goes, well, you know I'm gay. I go, bro, I know you're gay. I already knew you were gay. I go, I'm not tripping off none of that shit. He goes, well, why would you want a gay person as a friend? I go, look, if you suck dick, you suck dick. That's your thing. Just don't think you're going to suck on mine because it ain't going to happen.
So you brought it up first.
Yeah, I brought it up first. Somebody had to bring it up first. Somebody had to bring that equation in. You know what I mean? So we went on for a while, bro.
So when did he finally choke your ass?
And then I'm telling him, I'm like, look, I already knew you were gay when I shook your hand. I go, and if I had a problem with that, I never would have shook your hand. I go, and be honest with you.
How did you know by shaking a hand someone's gay?
I already knew he was gay.
He's been locked up before.
I already knew he was gay prior to me even meeting him. You know what I mean? And like,
that's sixth sense.
I shook his hand just like, hey, what's up? And then I told him in the conversation, like, bro, if I had problems with you, I never would have shook your hand. And 3 years ago, I probably would have spit in your face just based on the fact you're from L.A. I go, so do you understand where I'm coming from?
3 years ago, I thought you'd give that up 10 years ago.
And flashbacks.
And he
stopped spitting 3 years ago, though.
No, and he finally hit me back, bro, and he understood. And like, we conversate now and then, but it's just the shit he was telling me, bro, was unbelievable. He's like, on my train ride home, I was crying like a big-ass bitch all the way home. I'm like, why are you telling me these things, dude?
If you ever lose your lady, you know where I'm at.
Exactly. At least I know I got me a sugar daddy.
Well, that fool's going to give you a piloncillo, dog.
That's crazy, man. Maybe, but that's good. You know, like, you just said no. Maybe that was your way to get into Hollywood.
Hell yeah. Show business was calling,
you could have been in movies, bro. You could have played like an old samurai.
I was a gatekeeper, fool.
No, I stay in contact with him, bro.
That's good, man. He's a good guy, you know. Oh, yeah, he's a good actor.
These good people, it just threw me off, bro, out of nowhere. Just like, oh, you're straight? Like, yeah, why? There's something wrong with this being straight? Like,
do you feel there's more cholos now doing stand-up comedy?
Not that I know of.
This fool's being...
So what's your next show, fool?
My next one I'm going to talk to with Human about getting another one here at the Improv in August. But I'll be in Los Baños the 21st.
Los Baños. That's where the big comedy scene is?
I guess so.
What kind of shows do you perform at? Like, because it's been a while since I showed up to a couple of open mics, man.
I hit open mics here in San Jose, Redwood City.
Who's the worst comic you've ever seen? Because there's always, no matter how bad a comedian thing he is, there's always a dude next to him 10 times worse.
You know what, bro? I really don't sit there and, I don't know, I really can't say because, like, I focus on what I'm doing. And
don't
try not
be
to.
Lying, yeah. dog.
I don't think one of your biggest virtues is humility.
Yeah, no.
What have you learned? You know, like I know, like a lot of comedians, they start off, you know, they can't find a place to perform and they start booking shows, you know, and that always becomes a problem because comedians don't show up. Have you dealt with shit like that?
Oh yeah, I have.
What happened?
Yeah, I have. My first one, bro, the first one I produced is a fundraiser for this place called Martha's Kitchen here in San Jose.
Martha's Kitchen fundraiser.
And I got this headliner, DG, unless you guys want me to throw his fucking name out there. I mean, I don't really care. I'll throw it out there.
Let's keep it DG.
Okay, well, DG was supposed to be my headliner. We already had an agreement 3 months prior to this, and I'm this way. You shake my hand as a man, the deal's sealed right there.
You hear that, people?
That's how I am.
So you booked this comedian, right, to show up?
I booked him 3 months prior to the show. I asked him, are you available May 20th? Yes. How much are you going to charge me? He told me. I go, right, fine. And I threw an extra $100 on top of it, made sure his hotel was paid for, and was going to give him money for gas. The night of the show, here I am promoting, marketing, trying to get people in. You know, it's my first one I'm producing, and it's stressful. It is stressful. I got Human hitting me up like, hey, we haven't had any tickets sold. So I canceled a show I was supposed to go do in Tracy that weekend because I was like, oh, fine, I got to get this place filled up. So all these things are going on. So the day of the show, I see a line building up. I'm like, all right, cool, some relief. We got people coming in. The manager of the improv is okay. My lineup's there. Now all of a sudden, DG's texting me. Hey, I'm going to get on a flight right now. He goes, so I won't be able to meet you at the hotel to get his caravan over there. I'm like, all right, just go straight to the improv. 8:10, he calls me again. Hey, have a good show, man. I'm not going to make it.
8:10, he called?
8:10, right before the show's got to start, bro. So now, thank God, you know, I had my boy Butch out there, and I flipped, had him headline, and everything worked out.
So what happened to you, man? You got Dale chilled.
Yeah. I got dilled out, bro.
You got dill chilled, bro. That's what happened when somebody.
I got dill pickled.
That's what happened when you get when you book a comedian who think he's a badass comedian, and then he cancels on you 10 minutes before the show. That means you got dilled, bro.
And you know
you got dill chilled. You got dilled with a bad deal, bro.
And you know what's sad, bro?
Dill drilled.
And you were dill drilled. You were dill chilled.
I know for a fact, like myself, bro, if I tell somebody I'm going
to
come through,
that's not the thing
in
comedy, bro. If something bad happens to you, what happened to you, bro? I got deal chilled, bro. What happened? The deal was chilled. It was ice. Nothing happened, bro.
A penguin showed up.
Yeah, but I mean, the show went good after all. You know what I mean? I followed through with it. We did what we had to do. We raised some funds for that cause and dealt with it. And as far as this guy's concerned, I'm not going to deal with the dude no more. If he ever asked me to come out, because I hosted for him a while back. And I was just happy with the fact that I got asked to host a weekend show. I didn't know that, you know, I was supposed to get paid and this and that. And when I asked him about it, he's like, oh, bro, well, I let you host. So I was happy with that.
You got deal chilled again.
And I found out I got fucked, you know.
I didn't even learn the fucking first time, Birdman.
So, you know. And then
you got minkied, bro.
Because right now, like, when I first, like, the first 2 years I've been in this, my big thing is I just want to get out there and be heard. You know, if I get paid, I get paid, and if I don't, I don't. But, like, I was really animated about just getting out there. And I still am, but now, like, I'm finding stuff outside of San Jose. I'm going to hit in Sacramento, going to San Francisco, going to hit in spots where people don't know me and meeting that challenge again. I just want to make people laugh that I don't know and see what happens from there.
So now when the police pull you over, will you tell them I'm a comedian?
It helps a little. It helped the other night.
Do they harass you a lot? Because you're like somebody that I would love to just pull over, right?
If I were dressed the way I used to dress, bro.
This old ass teenager. Right?
How you dress, bro? The loose ass white t-shirt with a back collar.
Everything I wear, like. So,
how high were your pants up, bro?
They were never high up.
No.
I would just wear nice. I'd have Levi's, my shoe, but there would always be some kind of red in there somewhere, either on my hat, in my shoes, somewhere you would.
So you didn't wear khakis like they're doing out
there?
Nah, I never white
wore khakis.
T-shirts.
I never liked khakis.
You never dressed down. You never got really nice with a hat.
Oh, yeah, I'd put on my pleated pants and my suspenders. And
never had a long-ass ponytail?
That suspenders, man. That was a look right there, huh?
The trench coat, put on the
green. The khakis with the suspenders?
Yeah, but I never wore – I didn't like khakis. Cause everybody – see, like, I was the type of guy, like, see, I didn't get into Choloism until I got to the pen.
Choloism.
Choloism.
Because it's a religion, dog.
Because when I got
people, Choloism. Okay, look it up.
Because when I got
the
to San
Birdman
Quentin,
just
bro,
coined that phrase.
When I got to term. San Quentin the first time.
San Quentin,
and,
damn.
And you're getting off the bus. The sergeant tells you your state number.
CNBC lockdown.
And he gives me my state number, and then he says, okay,
what was your state number?
E38051. I said,
E38051.
And then the second one was PO4407.
Damn.
PO4407.
But when you're getting off the bus, they go, okay, what city were you arrested in? San Jose. Okay, you're a northern Mexican. I'm like, I never said that. He goes, either I put you down as that or I put you in protective custody. I go, well, I'm nobody's bitch, so I guess I'm a northern Mexican. And that's how all that started. So I picked up that game in prison. I never knew nothing about it.
Not from the streets here in San Jose?
Yeah. See, and that's why, like, when I got out, like, I didn't understand it in there. Like, he's a Mexican, but why is he my enemy? Why? What? Why? And, bro, honestly, I had to stab somebody up in there because it was either him or me, and it wasn't going to be me. There was a melee on the yard. It was us with the Sardanials. They were coming our way. I had to stab somebody, bro. I didn't like it. And it's something I've never brought home.
You get stabbed right now, bro.
And I've never brought it to the conversation. You know what I mean? There's certain things that transpire in there that you don't just bring
politics,
home to,
though,
to
right?
the You don't bring it home to the dinner table. Like your mom, hey, what'd you do today? Oh, I stabbed some dude on the yard. You know what I mean? You don't. It's shit weird, that like, you don't talk about.
It's just prison politics, right? Like, I'm pretty sure there's guys out there in prison that have a lover in there, and once they came out, they forget about it, right?
Dude. There's when I was in Tracy. This is a funny one.
You're there in Tracy doing stand up comedy or in
no?
Prison?
I was just there. I was there doing time, right? And
did you go over? Hey,
there's these.
They told me to do 20 years. I only did 40.
I did. I went over my time, bro. I actually went over my time a year and a half. That is funny. Yeah, so you can go over time in there too, bro.
They would give him the light.
Well, there's these two lifers. Never gonna see the streets again.
Lifers, that's funny, man. Lifers always wife up somebody, huh? Mm-hmm. So the two lifers, were they in love?
Nah, these two lifers are on the yard. One of them was with, I'm not even gonna say it because that's just some political stuff not to get it, but they're deep tied. They're tied deep, bro. They're
connected.
Yeah. There's this new, I call them it's. Or he, she, whatever you want to call it on the yard, right? This
My
guy,
mija.
This one was getting the tuck and roll and taking the pills so the breast can grow.
Oh, that's she's to the tranny.
Yeah. And so this one lifer saw it and says, hey, you know what? You're going to be my bitch. For the time that you're here, you're my girl. You're going to live in my cell. You're taking care of me. I'm your daddy. Boom. Done. That second lifer didn't know that. He's out on the yard trying to pick up on this same so-called woman, that first lifer.
But she
found
looked like
out,
a woman, huh?
Yeah. The first one found out about it and sent what they call torpedoes out and had that dude sliced up in the shower, bro. We were on our way to chow, and I heard the buzzer go off. So you got to put your back to the wall and squat down, and you see this guy being carried across on this gurney, bro, sliced up, lacerations everywhere across his face. He was alive, but just like, because the first lifer didn't like the fact that this dude was hitting on his so-called woman. I cannot, dude, when I see stuff like that, it blows my mind. Like, wow, man, all this over another man.
Stay in school.
Yeah, stay in school, guys.
Damn, bro.
I saw all kinds of crazy stuff, bro. I saw some, like, freaky shit.
That reminds me of pay my phone bill.
This is real, people, straight up.
So what's some crazy, do you see people get stabbed?
I saw these two guys from, like, what is it, the Middle East? I guess what is there? There's Pakistan, all like
Middle East, LA,
and they're like Pakistani and whatever else is over there. And these two guys,
Pakistan, Afghanistan.
I guess there's one of them countries out there where even though it's the same country, there's two sides to it and they don't get along. One guy
India,
said something
Pakistan?
To somebody else in their language,
or like in Muslim, Sunni or Shiite.
Yeah, some crap, dude. And the next thing you know, they were just pulling knives out and just sticking each other. I was like, damn.
Over that.
Over a word. Just one simple word. I don't even know what it was the guy said. He just said it, and he just turned around, and they just went at it, bro. I was like, fuck. It's scary, but you survive by minding your own, bro.
So you don't do drugs, right? You just smoke pot? You don't drink?
Weed, yeah.
You ever thought about maybe sharing your story, like talking to a prison, going back to juvenile halls?
I would like to.
And do stand-up comedy and tell them about your life, how you know, how there's a better way, and you really don't have to hold anger inside of you, you know, for things in the past that you can't change. Because I'm pretty sure there's 13-year-old kids out there who are going through what you went through, and now you could tell them, you know, that, you know, that's stupid, you know. You're going to grow old, and you're going to live a life of regret.
Yep. Don't live. Yeah, man, exactly. Because, like, I have a lot of regrets, but, like.
But you have a lot of rejoice, too, right?
Yeah, I got a lot of rejoice.
You're a good guy, man. You have a lot of friends, motherfucker.
You know what, bro? Because I've gotten away from.
How did you get away from? Like, me, when I left rehab, it was tough to leave the neighborhood. Like, one thing I learned, like, especially, like, when you're used to doing the drugs with the same people. How did you escape hanging out with the bad elements? And what keeps you away from that lifestyle?
Finding new hobbies,
What keeps you away from picking up a car with 5 kilos and driving them to Watsonville, or picking up weed from L.A. and driving it to Arizona? What keeps you from not going back to that drug lifestyle? You know,
there's
I know, because you don't go. I could tell from where you're looking, you don't go to church. So, what's your religion? What's your faith? You know, what's your hope that keeps you going every day?
I believe in higher power. As far as religions, I'm not with any of that, bro, at all. I don't believe in religions. Religions to me is man-made, and it's just a bunch of bullshit. I don't follow none of that. But as far as, like, what keeps me off the drugs and doing that shit, bro, is there's people out there that are looking for me to come out and actually make them laugh. When I get people saying, hey, when are you going to come to Sacramento, man? We heard about you. We hear you're pretty funny. We want to see you. You know what, bro? That makes me feel better as a person. Like, people actually want me around now. As compared to the past, when I was running around, people were like, don't let that dude in our house. I don't want that motherfucker around here.
Don't bring that dude in here. He never had weed.
Yeah, so, I mean, no, I'd always had drugs. And it was funny. Like, people were when they needed that ounce of coke, I'm invited into their home. But otherwise, oh, no, I'm a bad person. But now, like, comedy. My 7-year-old nephew I got at home, and just my well-being, bro, is what made me change. And now that I don't drink, life's gotten better. I'm getting booked more. I don't get so angry. You know, I don't snap as much as I used to. And I'm actually loving myself, bro. That was the thing.
You're wearing Dodger hats now?
I don't know. My mom will kill me, bro. She'll be like, what?
Man, if the Dodger win a championship, man, I'm going to buy your mom a Dodger nightgown, bro. She has to wear it and take a photo.
In 1988, bro, right before I went down. When the Dodgers beat
that was 88 was a sad day for you, for people in
that's
Oakland,
when,
man.
Valenzuela was pitching.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, I remember that.
Fernando Valenzuela, El Toro.
I remember, dude. You know what, man? Even though Fernando played for LA, I was like, man, he's Latin, he's doing his thing. Hell yeah. See, that's what I'm about now. It's all about, I don't care what part of the world you come from, you're Latin. I got love for you, man, because let's do this together.
Yeah, man.
That's what it's about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the past, you guys, too, I would never have acknowledged you guys years ago. I'm like, you're from LA? Fuck you. I'm not going to sit here and lie, bro, because
that guy with the birds,
that's how I was. You know, and I found out, you know, I finally realized, bro, like, you know, how many times I've gone to the Improv and I've seen comics from LA, and I'm like, well, okay, I've gone and checked these dudes out, so what's the problem? Because the reality is, if they're not afraid to come up here and make us laugh, then we should be able to embrace them as well. And vice versa. Just like when I went down to L.A. last November, you know, I did a show at the Irvine Improv. It was just me and my girl. And years ago, bro, I would never go to L.A. by myself. I'd be too afraid, because I was always thinking, somebody's going to recognize me from the pin. Oh, there's that fucking guy. Let's get him. I've always had that fear, bro. And I finally got over that fear. And I went down there. And people embraced me and, like, hey, welcome, and it felt really good.
Would you stay at in Irvine?
I stayed, where was I? I was, like, about 10 minutes outside of Irvine. We stayed at some hotel.
It's hard to find a hotel over there, huh?
Dude, yeah. Oh, man.
It's like tourists, huh?
Yeah.
Everything's booked.
You couldn't even find a bridge to sleep under. Everywhere, dude. It was, like, mad, but we got a room, had a good time, and like I said, man, I'm really thankful for comedy.
Well, we're thankful for you being here, bro.
Yeah, oh, yeah, man. It's a great story.
Jaime Birdman Acosta.
San Jose's finest.
And Flaco right here, man.
What's up?
You have anything to add, bro?
Thank you, Birdman. Half man, half bird, all heart. All right.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Half bird, half.
Who is more, bro? Your Paco or Flaco?
Huh?
Who weighs more, your bird Paco or Flaco?
He looks like he weighs more closer to Mr. Christian.
Who's Mr. Christian?
My blue, bro, and gold. He weighs about 8 pounds.
So tell, bro, you're talking, bro. You mentioned people that, like, we know them, bro. Like,
oh, that's, yeah, right. I forgot.
We're talking, Mr. yeah. So dude, my tia Lola, man, and we're going over there with Vicky. Vicky and Angie.
So how do you know all my family's names I never mentioned to you, bro? I got an Aunt Vicky. And I got,
those are all the names you mentioned right now.
I never mentioned an Angie.
I just made it up.
Because that was my brother's girl.
So you having, you're okay over here, bro? Or we got a Dr. Xavier here?
No, you know who he really looks like to me? You've seen that movie, Simon Birch.
Yeah.
He looks like little Simon.
He looks like Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell.
That's for the veteranos out there, eh?
The Penn State coach, eh?
Penn State. I'm State Penn coach.
What was his name? That's Joe Paterno right
there. Joe Paterno, live, just back from the grave, eh?
Back from the grave.
Yeah, man. So we're going to give a little for band. Let everybody know, man. I will be at August. I'll be hosting the Tejano Music Festival. You should go, bro. Birdman's going to be fucking a lot of fun. I got to hook up some rooms, bro. Vegas, you won't have to stay under a bridge, dog. And Las Vegas. Find all the dates at FelipeWorld.com. Follow us online at follow Rodrigo Torres online.
Instagram, Rodrigo Torres Jr., RodrigoTorresJr.
Help him reach 500 followers on Twitter, people. It was only at 300, man.
Instagram, too. Facebook, I'm doing okay.
Also, follow Isaac Flaco Martinez, Flaco Seagulls.
On Twitter, Flaco Seagulls on Twitter.
How you spell that for the people who don't know how to spell?
FlacoCeagulls.
You messed up. Do it again.
Oh, I said C-A? S-E-A, my bad.
Now you know why you have 105 followers.
I spelled it in Spanish. All right. That was FlacoSeagulls. I said C? All right.
And Jaime Birdman Acosta, just walk, go to Cesar Chavez Park and look for the guy with a bird. Just mad dogging everybody sitting down, eh?
Big old yellow beach cruiser.
Yeah, what kind of beach cruiser are you rolling now?
I got a Nerve, bro. I got high-end beach cruiser. I got away from the Huffies, bro. I'm on a Nerve.
Huffies
now.
Suck, dog. Yeah, I don't give a hell. One time we were talking about bikes, man, and this dude, this comedian, Martin Moreno, man, he said, hey, man, you ever had a PK Ripper?
Aren't those shoes?
Nah, fool, BMX bikes.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day, man.
Oh, I remember Redline bikes from back in the days. Those were big.
Elf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to follow me at Funny Felipe on Twitter or go to FelipeWorld.com for all my social links. What's your Twitter?
Mine is Birdman of SJ for Twitter and Jaime Birdman Acosta for Facebook.
That's your real name, Jamie?
Yes, my real name is Jamie Dennis Acosta.
Dennis?
Why? Yeah,
Dennis.
Hello. I knew
Dennis,
I should have known him. I knew it. Damn it.
Dennis?
Yeah,
no wonder, bro. You look like Dennis Hopper, bro.
See, that's why I wonder, like I say, man, I don't know what my parents
are fucking
thinking.
It all adds up, babe. Fucking menace to Dennis.
Dude.
I'm sorry. Dennis, menace.
I knew I should
Dennis
have said
the menace,
eh? Whose name's Dennis, dog?
Yes, bro.
If you were in prison, you would have been Denise.
Bro. I got named after my dad's friends. My dad's two white friends is where I got my names from, bro.
Wow.
I don't even have any kind of family name except
that
for
was
the
last one. Named Dennis, you could have survived, bro. Dennis.
No wonder why you call yourself Birdman. Anyhow.
Well, that's it, fool. What's up, fool? See you guys next time.
Peace out, people.
Peace out.
Good one.
Cholos, where you at now?